back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into March and March Madness. We will be at Hollywood Casino, the Barstool Sports Restaurant, watching the Terps take on West Virginia. So, I mean, we go, you know, it's a national tournament, but we're playing our neighbors. We're going to be going across the bridge up there at noon on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to it in a lot of ways. I'm getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'm going to have these instant lottery scratch offs in the Maryland Lottery to give away. Our friends at Window Nation give me floppy hats, 866-90-NATION. So we got things happening. I'm going to be at Fadley's. I'm going to be at Costas. But this bracket thing happens only once a year. It's sort of like the Shamrock Shake in this guy's world, or like sort of James Bond marathons. They only happen once a year. Dave Preston has been covering sports and things, as well as serving up a really mean baked potato at the Morton's out in Falls Church for many, many years. He's at WTOP. I don't know anyone that's more bracketed than this guy. So when I think to myself, I want to talk brackets. The Terps are now in the tournament. You know what I mean? I remember you and I going back to UMBC having to beat Virginia to put the great free state back on the map here. And you Washington types, you straddle. You know, like some of you live in Virginia. Some live over here with us. Some live right in the district. So you have to be sort of, you know, running Switzerland and all of this, really, you know, with the ACC and the Big Ten and all that. But you are the most unique cat I know. You have a unique sense of humor. But I want you to inform the Baltimore audience, the Baltimore wing of WTOP up here north, as to what your tradition is each and every year. Because anybody, I have a printer here. I went out CBS. I printed. Anybody can print a bracket.
Good.
But you, what you do is different. It's special.
Nestor, I introduce you the Super Awesome Bracket Cup 2023 version. It started when I, years ago, waiting tables at the Morton's in Reston, and you were given a cup for your soda for your shift, and it was during the tournament I actually filled out the cup, and it was the year that my alma mater, Syracuse, won the national championship, so naturally, I'm not getting rid of the cup until the tournament's over. I almost caught strep throat because it wasn't the most hygienically sound thing to do. Since then, it's been a ceremonial cup. I put all 68 schools on the cup, and then they play all the way to the championship. I don't often use the term engineering marvel and unhealthy obsession in the same sentence, but you know what? For this, it's my thing, and it's, you know, and it's a lot of fun, and it's cool to look at over the years, and so we've got the 2023 version right here, all 68 schools squeezed in there. The big challenge this week, this year, Nestor, was Texas A&M Corpus Christi playing Southeast Missouri State, trying to fit that into the play-in line. There's a reason why I hate the games in Dayton, and that's just one of them.
Well, you can just go SWMS for Southwest Missouri if you want.
I did SEMOTX. So you know what? Sorry.
Yeah, Old Memorial Stadium. You only had three letters, so right. You know what I mean. You had to kind of figure out what three you wanted to use, and you couldn't go SAN because that could be San Diego or San Francisco, right?
I know completely. Right. Without rules, Nestor, what are we as a society? But it's a lot of fun. It's something I've done for years, and it gets you into the spirit of March. I've been into the NCAA tournament since I was, you know, 12 years old, when I remember watching, you know, oh my goodness, there's this dude, Patrick Ewing, who is a freshman at Georgetown, and he's an absolute beast. But then there's this Ralph Sampson guy, and Maryland is really good as well. And I really fell in love with the tournament and the fantastic finishes on CBS with Brent Musburger and Billy Packer, you know, handling things. And over the years, it's been a blessing to have the opportunity to cover the tournament in person and to follow it on the air here at WTOP over the years.
Yeah, I've seen the Nets get cut down three times. I was at the Final Four even more than that. I wasn't when Maryland won in Atlanta, and I will have my Maryland championship hat on for the game against West Virginia at Hollywood Sports. It's a lot to say. Barstool Sports Restaurant, Hollywood Casino, Perryville. So I'm gonna have to get used to saying that.
It's a great place. Check it out.
Oh, it's fantastic. No, but the hat. You know, I wasn't in Atlanta. I was at the Kansas game, the semifinal game.
Okay.
Because it was Saturday. That Monday, remember, opening day. I'm going to baseball, Orioles, Aparicio, baseball, the 2002, not now, where like you can just skip out on opening day and nobody notices. Hell, you got a team down there and nobody notices. Oh. You just won the World Series a couple years ago. I'll get to that, and we'll get to your
also opening days now. It feels like it's in mid-March. Like they've moved opening day back into March. It's like, and you know what? I hate to say this, but I love it when opening day gets snowed out in certain northern cities. It's like, do you people not have an almanac? Do you not realize that it's cold, it's snowy in Minnesota in April?
Tell me where you're from originally, too. So, do you know something about cold? Where are you from?
New Hampshire.
Yeah, my wife. You and my wife grew up in the same hometown. You believe me. When I get off a plane up there, it's a different climate. It literally, it's just not the same as it is here playing baseball in Boston and Toronto. Yeah. And he plays Toronto with the Dome. But either way, Dave Preston is here, WTOP. He's getting his brackets ready and cup ready. You know, I've seen you at Big Ten tournament games in D.C. a number of years ago. We were courtside together back when I was in the real media. And you know, for Maryland and what the program's gone through, which is winning a championship, getting a building built, having some financial turmoil underneath of all that, having their legendary coach leave, changing conferences, having the next coach it not go as well as you want it to go. Boy, this Willard thing, just from a story standpoint for this particular program, and I go back, my first tournament was Elmore, McMillan, and Lucas losing David Thompson, 73, 74, 75. I remember all the Marquette years, the Indiana years, the Bobby Knight, Scott May, like all that. I remember all of that. I was, you know, I was a kid, but sports is all I ever, it's all I did. That and classic rock, and I've managed to merge that together 55 years later. But Maryland, Big Ten, trying to make noise, football programs kind of in over its head because everybody is not named Ohio State and Michigan and, you know, whatnot and Penn State and that conference. But for the basketball program, this year and a half, I mean, you cover this down at TOP, you're there, you're on the scene. Boy, the turmoil they had where Turgeon just sort of said, I'm out, December, I'm out. And then Manning, where they were and now where they smell like they are this week, even if they get a waxed by Alabama. It's just been quite an 18-month period for the program.
And you know what's amazing, Nestor, is that they had senior day this year. They took on Northwestern. And the last time that Northwestern was in town was the first game of the Danny Manning mini era. And just, you know, you feel for these kids, the kids who are seniors on this year's team, Hakeem Hart, Dante Scott, their freshman year, they're a part of a team that wins the Big Ten, but that's wiped out by COVID. The next year, they go to the tournament, but it's all in Indianapolis, and you know, it's not the same, and they play in front of nobody. Then last year, Mark Turgeon decides to leave in December, which is just, you hate to tell somebody what to do, but that's just, he owed quite a bit to Fats Russell, who transferred to Maryland for his graduate year, his last year. Guys burned their last years of eligibility to be with Mark Turgeon, and he bailed less than halfway through the season. So that last year was an absolute mess. And then this year with the new head coach, to see these guys finally get to a normal NCAA tournament is pretty awesome. And the way that these guys have come together under Kevin Willard, the way that Kevin Willard has put together a roster and a rotation and a program in less than a year has been pretty awesome as well. Granted, this is just 1 year, and you don't know how things are going to turn out. But right now, this looks like an absolute A-plus hire by Maryland. They have a guy who gets Maryland angst, who, even though, yes, Maryland is in the mid-Atlantic, where JFK once said that Washington was a combination of northern charm and southern efficiency, there's a lot of New Jersey types who go to the University of Maryland. Gary Williams was one of them from the Philadelphia area, who there's a lot of people with chips on their shoulders at Maryland who always viewed themselves as, you know what, you know, the ACC tobacco road, they look at us as Siberia. And that's what the Big Ten kind of looks at Maryland as well. It's like, yeah, you people are over there. And I think in Kevin Willard, they have a person with the right attitude who's really connecting with the fan base on that level in a way that Mark Turgeon did not. And not saying that Mark is a bad coach, but for whatever reason, Willard just gets what it means to be Maryland's coach in a way that Mark did not. And right, I mean, they're a year ahead of schedule. I think we all would have accepted, okay, maybe they go to the NIT this year. Maybe they finish a game under 500 in the Big Ten or two games under 500, but they finish with a winning record. And the fact that he's got them in the big dance, solidly in the big dance, they weren't on the bubble. They were an 8-9 seed the last month or so. And the fact that they've been in the main bracket since midseason, you know, says a lot to the hire and says a lot to the job that Kevin Willard's done right now.
Dave, for me with the Maryland program and I guess where this is a jumping off point, and you mentioned, I mean, I haven't talked a lot about Turgeon this year. And obviously didn't have an occasion the last couple of years to talk much about them as being a national championship contender or where that would be. Not since like Diamond Stone and Suleiman. You know, I felt like that was sort of the arc of that period. And I invited Don Marcus on this week. He's in hiding, but I hope he's doing well. But I mean, just sort of the historians that have been around for all of this. And I know, you know, you love college basketball. You've been hoping that all the programs locally, from George Washington to George Mason to Georgetown. I mean, George Mason's been in the Final Four more recently than any of the rest of them, right? No, like, so yeah, it's crazy. Well,
And you know what, too? You mentioned Diamond Stone. It's like, we'll always have that 39-12 he had in December against Penn State, you know, that one year. Which
yeah,
is just,
and,
you know,
well,
that's kind of what the era was. It was that the Turgeon era was a time of possibilities that at its best, you just felt that something was missing. Kevin Huerter, who's gone on to become an NBA player, was here for 2 years, and they didn't win one NCAA tournament game. They didn't win a Big Ten tournament game in his time here. So there are a lot of missed opportunities. I don't feel that's going to be the case for Kevin Willard. He's already won a Big Ten tournament game, which Turgeon did not do his last few seasons, despite having, right, although I think he won one of those years, but Turgeon had better teams that played a lot worse in the Big Ten tournament. And now the NC2A's, an 8-9 game's a coin flip game. And I think, I think that this is a team that, unlike a few of Turgeon's teams that didn't show up against Xavier that one year, this is a team that's going to show up regardless of the opponent.
Dave has the Magic Cup of 68 teams and the WTOP home studios. Show it off there, Dave.
Super awesome bracket cup, boys and girls.
Super awesome
version.
Bracket cup. Yes. It may or may not have a shamrock shake in it before it's all over. So, you know, for Maryland and where the program has been and the Turgeon era, I turned the page on all of it, and I began the year. The Cal Ripken Foundation throws a basketball event. Jay Wright, Gary Williams, they host it every year. It's downtown Baltimore. It's for Cal Senior Foundation. And that day, just hearing coaches and basketball people, so many people talk about the NIL money and where it is, and seeing why Jay Wright's not on the stage and why Jim Boeheim's exiting the stage, and that there's a new possibility for all of this and understanding it. I mean, you're a journalist, and I know some people go further in on all of this, but understanding this NIL and this sort of sea change for all of college sports and what it's going to mean and what it means at a place like Maryland, but what it means at Towson or Coppin or UMBC or any other place as well, and how this is going to shake out. The first things first is you get a coach in that is understanding of the new way and willing to play by whatever the new system is, because the one thing that's happened since before the plague, the whole system's changed. The paradigm's changed.
Oh, it's a different animal. And it's funny, because I've talked to Brenda Freeze, the Maryland women's coach, over the years. And it's amazing how, from 10 years ago, there have been changes, but from 5 years, it's always intriguing to live in interesting times. And that's where we are right now. There is a seismic change. And unfortunately, it means that, some coaches who are very comfortable running their world the way it was, they've moved on. But I'm sure that was the case 50 years ago when coaches moved on, when all of a sudden the old way didn't work. And there are things that I like about it. There are things that I don't like about it. What I do like is that if, say, you're the point guard for Maryland, which is not too far of a stretch because we know that you've got quick hops and you're very good at distributing the ball, Nestor. if your jersey is for sale at Xfinity Center, your number two is available, and I can buy your number two, you as a student athlete deserve a cut of that. You know, but what I don't like is, say you're a high profile recruit, and me as a head coach or a booster saying, "Hey, come to the University of Maryland. We've got money for you before you even get here." And I think that the NIL money should be a reward for representing the university, not an inducement for going to a university, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I
don't know how you legislate it. I don't, because the NCAA has been all hands off. The NCAA has been asleep at the switch on so many things, whether it's the conference carousel that is really jumbled up and is really, changing the brand in a not so good way, to, dealing with the athletes and transferring, which is also, taking away what was special about college hoops and college football. And the NCAA, the executives there, they're content to take their stipends or they're intent to take their paychecks while not really doing things, for the good of the athlete, for the good of the sport, and for the good of the consumer, like you and me, who want to see college hoops not the way it was back in 1985, where everyone stayed 4 years, or 1965, where freshmen were ineligible, but in a way that's entertaining, and in a way that is enjoyable for us as consumers. One of the things, we talk about how I've worked at Morton's over the years. What makes Morton's great is that you can be blindfolded. You can go into the Mortons in San Francisco, go to the Mortons in Washington, D.C., and you're going to have the same great experience. You're going to have a consistency of experience. And with players being able to change, with conferences being able to flip-flop teams and schools going every which way, you're losing a bit of the consistency. You're losing a bit of the tradition that you have grown accustomed to in college hoops. I'm not saying that we need to go back to the 1950s. But there needs to be something. We can't have the flip-flopping really dilutes the brand of college basketball for us as the consumer.
Dave Preston is here from WTOP. He loves college hoops. He has the Super Hoop Cup.
Awesome Bracket Cup. Get it right. This didn't go to awesome school for 7 years to just be called a Super Hoop Cup.
It is awesome, Dave. I'll give you that. I have a paper pool that's not so awesome. But what's going to be awesome, we're going to be at Hollywood Casino and Barstool Sportsbook Restaurant watching the game. And Dave, this is the first time that I'm going to sit and watch March Madness in the modern era. I've been on the radio 31 years, right? So all these years I sit there.
You can run for the Senate. Your radio career can run for the Senate.
Well, it probably should. I've seen some of the senators and some of the nationals too, by the way. But I would say this for me, I guess all these years into it, as I got older, not when I was 20 and Danny Manning was winning and I didn't understand and everything was a bracket pool and Mike Fountain was stealing everybody's money in the bracket pool Manning back in the day. He had them on the 8 line and they won, so he won. But okay. I never won the bracket pool. But that's neither here nor there. I would just say in all these years, the one thing as I got older and I started making money and I started to be old enough to go into a locker room and see Taj Holden and be older than him, and then go into a locker room and see Juan Dixon and Blake and those guys and be, 20 years older than them. And all of the players that went and did this and watched them on TV. And my friend Mike Butts, that I went to high school with, was 6'11" at Dundalk High, went to Bucknell with Bo Smoke up there. And yeah, they wound up playing Syracuse, and he wound up on the cover against Derek Coleman and on Sports Illustrated in minor March Madness game. So all he didn't make any money. I mean, he made money because he went out in the real world as an engineer, as a really smart guy. Right. But everybody at Barstool Sports is making money on the game Thursday. The bartender's making money. TV's making money. The popcorn vendor's making money in Birmingham, Alabama. They're parking cars out front. They're making money in Birmingham, Alabama that day. The coach is making millions of dollars. Highest paid guy in the state. Everybody's making money. Every sports bar in America's making money. Bookies are making money. Mobile's making money. Everybody's making money except the people playing. And I could not get over some sort of weird slavery and down, you know, like sort of like indentured. And I'm thinking, what, these guys are getting quote unquote an education? No, that most of these guys are getting rented for 9 months to dribble a basketball for, to my eyes, when right. you know, at its sleaziest, at its worst point.
Yeah.
And I just thought these presidents are making money, and these travels and the hotels are making money, the airline, everybody's making money except the people dribbling the ball. And at least I don't know that they've got it right. And I'm sure everybody's right. gaming it, and the AAU and the blah, 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 and the big boys with dough. And I love Ole State. I mean, they're going down to Alabama to play, right? They might as well legalize it because it's like there, right?
Right.
I would just say to you that it feels cleaner to me in that
okay,
way.
Yeah.
That if
I
a
do,
kid's unhappy in Maryland, he can leave. It's not good for college basketball. It's not good for Maryland. It might not be good for the school he goes to, but it's at least a fair system that these kids aren't dribbling, making millions of dollars, and not even allowed to take free pizza.
What I do like is the fact that, you know, you met the transfer rule, Nestor, that players can leave without the threat of having to sit out for a year. Because it used to be, if you wanted to transfer to another conference school, you had to sit out 2 years in some leagues, or you weren't allowed. A Luke Recker left.
It was punitive
Indiana
to the
for
kid, and
Iowa,
the university and just they, moves on. Yeah.
So it's just I like that. A couple of years ago, the Syracuse women's basketball coach Quentin Hillsman, I believe, was the gentleman's name. 10 kids transferred because there was an investigation, and he was just really abusive practices as a head coach, just bad stuff. And if there wasn't that, he probably still would be head coach right now, because not that many players would transfer, because you'd have to burn a year of you'd have to sit out a year, and no one wants to sit out a year. So from that standpoint, I do like how players are allowed some freedom of movement, especially if a coach leaves. If I'm playing for you and you jump to another school, I should be able to leave. I should have the same freedom of movement in that regard. I'm not a fan of players on their third team in 5 years. I'm not a fan of, you know, even though I understand why they gave extra COVID years. Now you've got some guys, the classic John Belushi, 7 years of college down the drain. There are some dudes who are like 26, 27-year-olds still playing college basketball. That is absolutely nuts. But, you know, I love the games. I love the spectacle. And there's nothing better than the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, Nestor.
Well, Thursday, we're going to be up at Barstool Sports in Perryville. Come on up and have a hello. I'll have some copies of Purple Rain 1 and 2. Giving them away. Stop by. You can read about the Ravens' integrity before they lost it. So for me, here in Baltimore, we're in the middle of like this giant Lamar Jackson thing. Like, and maybe it doesn't feel like the biggest story in sports in DC or where you are. You have your own issues down there with the baseball team, the hockey team. You have things going on, right?
Yeah.
But here it feels so giant. There's nowhere I go where people don't talk about it. And it does feel like when I put ESPN on or NFL Network, they're talking about it inevitably. It's this gigantic story that feels like there's no more oxygen for anything like the Orioles or Dan Snyder or even any other position on the team or even the draft that's 5 weeks away. It's all Lamar all the time. DC, I would say the Snyder thing and whatever the outcome of that is, I don't know that it can be enormous again or people are going to get back on the bandwagon or whatever. But, I mean, y'all are down there waiting for something. And in addition to Angelos with the baseball team too, DC's a little – it's a hostage area to be a sports fan. It really is.
It's unfortunate. If you want to look at a brand that just here's, I'm sure maybe in business classes, years from now, graduate level courses, they'll teach how to erode a brand, and you'll see how the Burgundy and Gold brand has been eroded for the last 25 years with Dan Snyder as the owner. It's gone from when I moved to the area, if you drove through the city at 3 p.m. and the Burgundy and Gold were playing, nobody would be on the streets. You could go grocery shopping, and no one would be there because this place bled for the Washington football team at the time in a way that, not many other markets did. And it was the lone team in the district for the longest time because the Cap Center was out in Landover, Maryland. And the baseball team was not in the area. They moved to Texas. So for roughly 25 years, this was the lone show, and it really united what is Washington's always been a transient area, and it really united all three regions. So, you know, a little bit of Maryland, around the district, and obviously the D.C. and then Northern Virginia as well. And it's a shame how, a great advantage was squandered by the current ownership. And I think a lot of people are through with the current ownership, and they're not going to get on board until there's somebody new in place.
Well, this owner's meeting's 2 weeks from now. You know, since I got thrown out of the NFL, I've been to those owner's meetings for the last 20 years. This would be a spicy one to be attending, right?
Oh, yes.
Like it feels like we're getting toward the end, and an end that everybody predicted, but no one saw, right? Mm.
Yeah. And it's just, you look at when you're dealing with an NFL franchise, you're really beholden to these people, and until with any pro sports team, you're beholden. It's like being in a 19th century European kingdom. And you know what? Hey, we got a good king. Hey, we got King Louis the 14th. He's awesome. Oh, we got King Louis the 16th. He sucks. Or, depending on, who we've got, or the Habsburgs, they're crazy because of all the inbreeding, or the Kaiser is going to attack every other nation. It's you're really beholden to who owns the team, unfortunately. And in some ways we benefited because Ted Leonsis has been a stand-up owner with the Capitals, and he's been somewhat solid with the Wizards, trying to get them on the right track. But they've been an abject disaster. The Washington Redskins, then the football team, now the Commanders. And even though I didn't come up with a comma Commanders song that really fell flat, it was the new Hail to the Redskins, but never really worked out.
Last time you were on, we sang Moody Blues. So I'm not going to have that here this time.
Not going to go to comma Commanders?
Listen, don't make me break
the song
my classic
rock. Itself.
Don't make me break my classic rock belt buckle collection out on this program.
Oh,
I already broke Peter Frampton out here. I broke out the Peter Frampton Comes Alive and then I'm in You to show what happens once you junk the shark.
Definitely.
You jump the shark, it's all over. Dave Preston.
No, you do feel like I do then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Show me the way every day.
Yeah.
Dave Presto is the way to follow his magic out on Twitter, and Dave Preston at WTOP. You can listen to him out on the interwebs, WTOP.com as well, and follow the awesome Bracket Cup and his picks. So for Maryland, man, what a tough draw, right? Like,
yeah, it's
like
not ideal. West Virginia, there's, I mean, Bob Huggins is a Hall of Fame coach for a reason, and he's got that team playing really well in one of the toughest conferences in the country. So if not the toughest conference, the Big 12, which only has 10 schools, but that's neither here nor there. It's good. If for some reason they are able to beat West Virginia, they're likely going to face number one overall seed Alabama after having, and just playing Alabama is tough, but 2 days after playing West Virginia, you don't want to do anything for like a week after playing the Mountaineers. So it's a very difficult draw. If they get a win, that's a victory. That's a victory, I think, for the program. And I think just making the tournament field in the first year under Willard is a victory for the program. I think moving forward, you want Maryland. Do you expect a Final Four every year? No, but you'd like to get to the second weekend, and you'd like to get to Saturday in the Big Ten tournament consistently, like every other year, twice every 5 years or something along those lines. Mark Turgeon got to one Sweet 16 in his tenure with the school. Gary Williams didn't get to a Sweet 16 after 2003, I believe, and had trouble getting to the second, getting to the semifinals of the ACC tournament his last couple of years. I think he got to one his last, after winning the ACC tournament. So Maryland's got a tough road ahead of it. I can't not before we're done, at least give a shout out to Howard University getting to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1992. Coach Kenny Blakeney doing a fantastic job there. His name's going to be a hot name in coaching searches, if not this year, next year, or the year after. I mean, this program has been absolutely awful. I mean, they had the nation's leading scorer in James Daniels, and they still couldn't have a winning record. So they're, and they have a tough draw against Kansas. So it's a much better winter. It's much better March this year than last year, when for locals, we were saying Richmond's local. Yeah. And so's Delaware. two places that are nowhere near Washington.
Just but remember those where you're on the air. You're on the air in the home of Coppin State. You're on the air of the home of UMBC. We create miracles here in this city of Baltimore.
It was a bummer to see Towson exit early this year and last because I thought the Tigers had a chance to do something. They were derailed by Delaware last year. This year, they didn't have the game, but they had a chance to beat the College of Charleston. The College of Charleston is going to be I've got them as my upset pick in that bracket, beating San Diego State and then giving Virginia some fits in the second round.
All right, brother. Well, I hope to check back in with you. I will be following the Cup out on social media, Dad Presto, as well as out on your Facebook. Show everybody the Cup again there, Dave. And
Super awesome bracket cup, boys and girls. It's not an obsession if awesome actually it is.
But SABC, super awesome bracket cup. It is March Madness. And, you know, it's March and you are the madness, Dave Preston. That's all I can say. We didn't even get any James Bond in here at any point.
We don't need it.
Not this time. I did have a really good friend of mine go over to Phuket and they took a picture with the James Bond the plaque that's there. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So my friend Brett did that last month. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
One of my friends, big Bond fan, he's like, he's actually told me, he's like, you know, I don't view Live and Let Die and The Man with the Golden Gun as much as James Bond films, but as poorly edited Sheriff J.W. Pepper films.
You know what? Sheriff J.W. Pepper is a legend.
He's the lead. He's the lead. And there's this Englishman showing up. If you just edited J.W. Pepper footage together, you'd have a series. Clifton James is awesome in that role.
That boat ride in Thailand, unforgettable. What can I say about that? But I'm going to get to Phuket. You couldn't say that on the radio, but it begins with a PH. Dave Preston is Dad Presto. You can find him at WTOP. And anywhere... Nationals whining, Wizards whining, Capitals falling apart, and the Commanders being sold off. That's my cheap shot at the Washington people for winning and when we can't win. So maybe our baseball team will be better this year.
One last thing, the Caps, it's kind of a bummer this year seeing where they are. I think they missed the playoffs this year. I thought they were going to miss it last year. Their core is getting old. Hopefully the moves that McClellan has made will set them up for next year and the year after, because I think they can still, with the roster properly set up, make another run into the Cup playoffs with Alex Ovechkin. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I think I told you this, and if word gets back to Ted, good. But Barry Trotz, by the way, down in Nashville now as the GM. I have my Predator stuff in the back of the closet. You know, Ted promised me on the air that they would bring the Stanley Cup to Baltimore and celebrate it, and they never did. And it never happened.
And it's kind of not cool.
That's kind of way not cool. And they did sneak it into Camden Yards as a favor to George Stamos, and they snuck it into the Under Armour facility and took some pictures with Kevin Plank. But like, they did not put it down at the Inner Harbor for 2 hours and say, if you love the Caps, come down and see the Cup. They didn't do that. And that bothered me. They wouldn't have had to have a parade. They could have dragged it from Camden Yards to the football stadium and just had it on the walkway for an hour, and I could have come down there and taken a pic. But I didn't like that. And because I'm a Baltimore Caps fan, a lifer from the beginning, from Dennis Mrouk and, you know, back in the day. So, yes.
And I think, you know, I mean, to be honest, you know, Baltimore has been, you know, there are a lot of people who come who
we've been good to that franchise.
Exactly. From when it was in Landover.
I haven't seen Ted. I haven't been down to his hockey rink. Matter of fact, I've sort of boycotted even like a Bon Jovi concert down there. I just would prefer to go to Philly or New York. Not boycotting, but just.
How do you boycott John Bon Jovi?
If Springsteen, so Springsteen's playing down there next week.
Yeah.
He's playing here. I'm going to go here. You know what I'm saying?
You know, here's a good Bon Jovi story for you. I convinced when Slippery When Wet came out, my sister was 10 years old. She had the record so she could read the liner notes and all this, that, and the other thing. The week before her birthday party, I was like, oh man, Bon Jovi, they're great. You know, John Bon Jovi's the lead singer. Yeah, David. And I then convinced her that they were a group of brothers, because John Bon Jovi's the lead singer. Ron Bon Jovi's the guitarist. Don Bon Jovi's the bassist. Sean Bon Jovi's the drummer, and then there's Horace Bon Jovi on the keyboards. He's adopted. She was 10 years old, bought it hook, line, and sinker. The next week at her birthday party, she's dancing with her friends to the record. And she's like, wow, Don's the best guitarist ever. They're like, what are you talking about? It's like, Don Bon Jovi, the guitarist. They're like, no, that's Richie Sambora. No, my brother said it's Don. They're all brothers. No. And then you hear, Mom! And then you hear, David! And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's her fault. She didn't
you
read the
line. You were a jerk to your little sister about Bon Jovi?
Oh, dude. I can
journalist, dude.
Brothers and their names rhyme. That's ingenious.
Purvey truth at all times. And I do have a Bon Jovi belt buckle here. For
oh, that's
you,
sweet.
Just to make sure
I like that.
You get that. Yeah, you know.
Favorite song for me by them remains Runaway. Love it.
Oh, see that? I was going to say to you, there's so many gems, but Slippery When Wet, I love Without Love. It's nothing without love.
Right.
You know, that's an underrated. Because anybody can say, you know,
Runaway.
Yeah, oh, well, I love Runaway. My band did Runaway. That was a great song. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Here's Dave Preston. It always goes back to rock and roll, even though it starts in sports. He's in D.C. I'm in Baltimore. And we've all learned to get along a little bit. At some point, you need us to help you sell your franchise. And I saw the young Angelos boy, you know, with our governor trying to curry favor. We'll figure it all out. At some point, we'll figure this baseball thing out, and people will come back again. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, getting you ready for the brackets and the basketball and our friends up at the Hollywood Casino and Barstool Sports. We'll see you on Thursday up with the Terps. Go beat them Mountaineers.